Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen. With me today, the millionaire coach of millionaire coaches, Daniel Mangana. This is your daily dose of happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today. Daniel's running just a minute or two late, but he'll be joining us very shortly. But in the meantime, it's okay. We got a guest joining us today. Philip Mountrose is with his wife, both of them doctors. They're authors of over a dozen books, many of them on EFT, which, of course, we're all familiar with that acronym, Emotional Freedom Technique. And he has been doing it since the 1990s, he tells me, which is pretty cool. In fact, I guess he was doing it kind of parallel with Gary Craig. So we're going to get a little bit of a different spin on it from perhaps some of the other people we have talked with. But in the meantime, before Daniel gets here, Philip, welcome to the program. We're glad to have you here.
Great to be with you, Walt. Thanks for having me.
And I'm kind of curious to know, since you did it, developed your own version of it independently from Gary, tell us that story a little bit. How did all that get going?
With the emotional freedom technique, the tapping technique. Yes, we were very interested, my wife and I, in healing, which previous to that, we were very interested in spiritual development and awakening in our earlier life, our earlier incarnation in this life. And we were actually in a spiritual group, an Uspensky-Gurdjieff group, philosophical organization. They were kind of sages and spiritual people of the last century. And that was like the best group we could find at the time. And it was very profound, and we learned a lot. And we're using still some of those spiritual principles and techniques today. However, in this group, Walt, one of the tenets was to not express negative emotions.
Oh, okay.
Now, on the surface, that makes sense to observe negative emotions. It sounds pretty spiritual and wise, but in reality, in practice, what it meant is you were very repressed. You were on pins and needles. Someone says something, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm being anxious? You know, what do you mean I'm being frustrated? You know, I'm fine. So we realized a really missing piece of spiritual growth. I mean, how do you have this spiritual presence and awareness when you're so, uptight, inhibited? And we eventually left that group, and that sent us on our journey, in spiritual, awakening, to healing. Mm-hmm. And we started off with hypnotherapy, and we really loved mm-hmm. that and getting deep into the unconscious mind. And that worked extraordinarily well. And then we came across EFT very early on in the early 1990s. And it was just beginning to start. Gary Craig, whom we met, we studied with Roger Callahan before him on this acupuncture based with your fingers. Mm-hmm. therapy, which it sounds like a lot of the people watching this know about that, which is good. Am I right in understanding, or do we need to explain what it actually is?
It's always good to explain. Yes, our audience is a fairly advanced audience.
Give the 1 minute, you know, what is he talking about to those
right.
people? Even though millions of people have done EFT, you might think it's electronic fund transfer or something else.
It is that too, actually, when you come down to it.
You say, I thought it was that. No, we're talking about emotional freedom techniques, simple tapping, on key pressure points instead of acupuncture needles, with your fingers and your body, which are related to meridians and the energy body, which underlies your whole physical body, and saying some affirmations, although it's been done even without affirmations, that target the issue at hand. And it is a way of balancing the body where there's either too much or too little charge around whatever you're thinking. And it sounds very strange and too good to be true. And for those people who know, it works remarkably well, though not always. And to deal with some things, you do need more training and depth. And so that's the EFT. And our background was a more spiritually based one, as I was mentioning, my wife and I, when I say we. Hey, hi there. Hi, Daniel. So we wanted to link, we realized that part of awakening is healing. Because if you're, sometimes called shadow work now, if you have a lot of frustrations, a lot of negativity, a lot of stuff on your unconscious, it's not only interfering, it actually turns out it's what you're here to find out and clear and use as sort of spiritual material or raw material to awaken. And our approach was, and we learned this through some other people, to connect more consciously with the soul, the awareness, the inner awareness, the inner connecting with the oneness. And we applied that to EFT. So we have different ways of figuring out what to do with EFT before you actually do the tapping. And that's where the art comes in. Because sometimes you can just sort of throw them against the wall or tap and you're bouncing and incredible things do happen. But sometimes that's not enough. And then even just saying phrases, tapping phrases, as they're sometimes called, has a limitation to it. And Gary Craig himself was rather critical of that. It's sort of like throwing the mud against the wall where something works. However, it could be counterproductive because I'm saying, okay, Walt, even though you have this anxiety about your new career, you love and accept yourself and you're thinking, I'm not really anxious. You know, I am a little, worried. I'm not really, I wouldn't say anxious. And meanwhile, I'm asking you and I'm throwing all these affirmations at you. So where I'm going with this is what we figured is a lock and key. If you are more in tune with yourself and you discover these different ways to find out the key of what is really bothering you or blocking you, and then you tap on that, it works quite well because it's very precise. So that was our what we call holistic EFT, and we added a few other tapping ways to tapping your head and your heart, balancing the left and right brain and the integrating in your heart as well into the holistic EFT. And we did another energy healing. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just going to interrupt you for a second. Before we're getting just a little bit of interference, we're now getting a significant amount of interference in your signal. So I'm not quite sure. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where you're connected compared to your modem or whatever, but I wanted to see if there's anything you could do because it was getting a little bit hard to follow you at times.
Let me see if I can just connect. Maybe I can connect with the internet, you know, different ways to connect. Let me see if I.
Yeah, sure.
Let me try a different way. Hold on.
Yeah, sure. Meantime, Daniel, hello there. Glad you can make it. How are you doing today?
Hello. Yes. Sorry I was late. My sandwich took a lot longer to come. I had 30 minutes for a lunch break. And I said, all right, I'm just going to order like a club sandwich, That's going to come really quickly. I can grab it. I took it to go. I want to grab it, take it back. It took like 20 minutes to make the
sandwich. Well, that's the way it goes. It's law of attraction, right? I mean, come on.
Really? I was looking for something quick so I can get back and a quick nibble. So I was like, I got back. It was like 1:55 my time. I'm like, I need to message Walt. I need to get at least enough in my stomach to not be hungry. Otherwise, I'm going to be like this, meeting Philip like this.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't want that. That's true. We don't need you to be hangry, especially, I mean, you're such an integral part. We can't make you be
hungry. So I managed to gobble half the sandwich. No longer got any hunger pangs and good to go.
That's a good thing. That's really good. Well, Philip, I think, is still trying to iron out the connection there. So I'll just give you like the little bit of background that I gave to the audience. He and his wife, Jane, both doctors, have been working with EFT since the 1990s, around the same time Gary Craig was doing it. And they have written about a dozen books on the subject. We're going to be talking a little later on about his latest book called The Loving of Your Soul, I think it's called. And he has, it sounds like he has a little bit of a different take on the whole EFT thing. So that sounds like
an interesting conversation. Yeah, I heard that from what he was just saying.
Yeah.
Just having that foundation in place.
Yeah. So that's going to be good. So he's going to try to reconnect him with a new device. I don't know if you knew, Dan, I don't think I've really been communicating to you about it, but we're doing a whole thing now with a bunch of different guests coming in because I want to try to expand the audience and also expand what we're talking about. So, here he comes.
I'm back. I don't know. I hope this works better. I don't know where we were in the.
This sounds a whole lot better. So, I mean, regardless of where we were, just the fact that it sounds better is a help. So,
great.
We're better off. Yeah. That's the best part.
I don't know if you want me to review some of the things I said or go from there. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll just keep going. That's all right.
Okay.
Yeah. It was just a bit sketchy.
Yeah. That's all. So anyway, so you gave us kind of a little bit of the background, and then now you have a new book that's come out, and the Loving of Your Soul, And what was the foundational ideas behind that?
The loving power of your soul.
Loving power of your soul, sorry.
That really isn't encapsulated. What we realized is the essence of the journey was this connecting with your soul, your deeper awareness, your deeper identity that has your life plan and your life purpose can come from there. And that's what we've been developing along with the energy healing, the holistic EFT, as I was referring to in another energy healing we developed called spiritual kinesiology. And that clears the blockages. You not only connect with the soul to get awareness and to use your functions, to use your abilities most optimally, and do the clearing through the soul. So we have three parts: the preparation of using your body, using your awareness, and different ways to connect directly with the soul, and then the clearing, like with holistic EFT and spiritual kinesiology, the energy healing.
Okay, very good. This is an interesting take too, because I mean, we certainly have heard in the past people talk about the connections between a therapy like EFT and, say, hypnotherapy and NLP and a variety of processes like that. Right. But it sounds like you've kind of taken a different take on it than others have. Can you identify what's different about what you're doing?
Well, we believe that if you're referencing your soul and you're getting your wisdom from the soul, all kinds of things can happen very quickly at a deep level. Let me give you maybe an example of a story that might illustrate best what I'm talking about. So one of the ways that we help people heal is this spiritual kinesiology, which is the healing from the soul. It's a way you connect with the soul and use it for healing. And a lady who came to us, she had this problem with a former best friend who she felt betrayed by, understandably, because 7 years prior, she had gone into a spiritual business and the person embezzled the funds from her. So,
oh, geez, yes.
Yeah, right. So one of the things, she had also been a meditator daily. She meditates daily. And this was another thing we cover in the Loving Power of Your Soul book, is the idea of meditation and how that works and sometimes is limiting even for a more direct connection with the soul. So we helped her connect. I didn't know if I could really help her because, I mean, saying, well, she meditates every day. I mean, she's probably done quite a bit of efforts to get clear, but she was still very disturbed by this incident as if it happened the previous day almost. Okay. And we, you know, we know the way things are when we're bothered by something. It could be 10 years ago, 50 years ago, and it's still like it's just happened.
Yeah. Those tapes are persistent.
Yeah. They're still very fresh and we're connected. It's interesting. It's very easy to access them when you do part of the healing, when you say access the issue in her part, you know, the hurt. It's not like, oh, I wonder if I can find it. It's like, right there up, and you know, it's very easy to access that part of the quote problem issue. And we did one round of connecting with the soul and getting the soul's wisdom and energy into this process. And then I asked her, I said, Mary, how are you doing now? You know, after one round, you know, I don't know, you know, I just could leave it up to the process. You know, I'm
sure
it's not me, it's a person's connecting with a higher awareness. And she said, I'm fine now. I said, what do you mean you're fine? She said, I'm fine. You know, I'm good. So how are you with the friend? She goes, I'm fine with her now. I mean, this was a person who could hardly talk about her 5 minutes ago before this. And this sounds almost too, and the reason why I say this, we see things like this pretty regularly, not always. I mean, it sounds very strange. We helped a lady go through COVID and help relieve her of COVID serious symptoms. She thought she was going to die through doing this process. But anyway, so she was good. She was forgiving. She went out the door and felt fine.
Wow. That's a big result. No doubt about that.
I don't know if that makes sense as story at all about what, you know, you're asking about, like the different take or just connecting at this deeper level. Things look,
I think we're trying to get to what the substance of that deeper level is.
Yeah. And that's what we're discussing, and it sort of goes beyond word. There's a saying, I think, from the Vedic literature, it's something like, you know, something from the same thing from a different perspective looks completely different.
Mm.
Kind of a reframe. So the same thing, when you look at it from like an open heart or from a learning, from a soulful place, and the soulful place is a place of love and learning and growth. the same thing that was terrible, awful, unacceptable, and terrible becomes looks different. It still could be pretty terrible in a lot of ways. It doesn't certainly mean like, wow, that's great. That person was abusive and that's fine and who cares? You know, no, but you have a sort of deeper understanding of it in the flow and the context of things in your life and how to use it, you know. And once, you know, once it's done, it's been done on one level, but you can reframe it and go on.
So let's, if you can give us a taste of it, give us an idea of what you lead the person through, and specifically what happens when we get to that new level. I mean, first of all, we got to that level, and then what happens when we get there?
Well, I'm kind of thinking, and I don't know if this is, you know, if either of you feel like it, if you feel like kind of, you know, or if you're in an open receptive state, if you'd like to kind of do this, maybe we could do something on a little bothersome something or other.
I'm used to being a guinea pig. It's fine.
You don't mind being a guinea pig? Okay.
No. All right. I'm used to being a voyeur, so everything works out.
Okay, this is so true. Yeah. That's our role.
Everyone's in their customary role, so I guess we're ready to roll with our roles. Okay. So we start, Walt, with something that's a little bothersome for you. Something a little off for you, something that you'd like to improve. Anything coming to mind?
Well, I can tell you about something that I've been dealing with directly lately, and it's something that Daniel knows about. I have this thing that has been, I mean, we talk about blocks a lot, right? Things that get in the way of our ability to manifest what we've been wanting to manifest and so forth. And I've been aware for years now that while I've made a lot of progress with my stuff, there's one particular thing that I've never been able to identify what the source of it is. I don't really know what it is. It kind of has seemed like a shadow at times. It has seemed like it often manifests in terms of a tightness in my gut. And when I feel the tightness, it's almost like there's this thing that's about 2 feet in front of me. It's almost like a being, but I don't really know what it is. And it's very nebulous. I can't really describe it much more than that. But it's been kind of a on again, off again thing that just, you know, persists. It doesn't stay continuous. But every once in a while, especially if I'm in a stressful situation, all of a sudden, boom, there it is again.
Okay. Well, maybe just for sake of time and see what we can connect with here. Can you think of a time that you were feeling that stressful situation where you had this uncomfortable experience, Walt?
Yeah. Actually today, whenever I can, during the cold weather, it's kind of tough, but today we had a nice warm day and I took my usual, nature walk. And in the middle of my walk, all of a sudden I'm feeling myself tighten up. I'm saying, what the heck's going on? So I'm trying to do some stuff to embrace the shadow and so forth and made some progress with it, but there it was again, just popping up.
Okay. Well, let's just see where we can go on this. You know, again, I don't know. I'm not a psychic. I'm not here to, you know, say, oh, this is a such and such, you know, whatever. But we'll find it. See what
you're
you
not
come
a psychic. I'm out, Philip. If you're not a psychic, I'm not interested.
Okay. Well, you can just kind of hang out wherever.
What's going on here.
Okay. Sorry about that. We just lost half the audience. Okay.
There you go. Yeah.
Now we're going to have you empower yourself through your soul. I hope you don't mind that.
No, not at all.
You know, okay. All right. So we'll do a little, what we call a little soul connecting. And there's a couple ways, we do different ways. One is, just opening, your heart, just kind of breathing into your heart for a moment, Walt.
Okay.
If you can do that for a moment. And, sensing yourself, bringing your soul into your heart and just opening yourself up as you relax a little bit. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And some people like to even sense themselves in a lofty place, like a mountain or a higher place where they have that bigger picture perspective.
All right.
And what's that like for you, Walt?
Well, I'm also going on other influences I've had in the past, and there's a particular community that Dan and I both know about called the Taya community, and in that community there's a meditation where you basically go out into outer space and get that perspective from
well,
me out
I'd
there.
Like
so
you,
that's, not,
it,
that's what I'm doing
yeah,
right now.
No, yeah, what I'd like you to do, just kind of stay, if you can, you know, just stay with it for a moment when you're connecting with your heart and you're feeling that soulful connection and maybe you're up on that higher place, that lofty place, can you begin to feel that? in the moment.
Excuse me. What is it? What's the that I'm trying to feel?
Just feel the energy of that. You're feeling an opening of your heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a soulful connection. And maybe you're in a lofty place looking down, or you're getting a big picture sense of things. You're just having a sense of energy, a sense of maybe oneness, maybe expansion. And let me know when you're connecting. And tell me what that's like for you, Walt.
Oh, it's a very peaceful kind of place. Mm-hmm. It's a place where nothing really bad goes on in this place. it's just a very peaceful, pleasant place.
That sounds good. So you're in a peaceful, is it a feeling or are you actually visual? Is there some visuals or just more of a sensing or a feeling?
It's a feeling. I have struggled in the past with being able to create any kind of images in my mind. I can usually fleeting images. So imagery usually is the biggest part of it for me. Usually it's more feeling and sound.
Okay. And whatever it is fine. The feeling and sound, it's all good. Okay. Yeah. Good. So you have the feeling and sound. So we'll set that aside. And if you want, you can even sometimes you can just strengthen that feeling of, the peacefulness, and you could put your hand on your knee, say your right knee, just to sort of, that's a way of reinforcing it. So you can remind yourself of it. Okay.
Okay.
So you have that. Okay. So remove your hand. So let's go back to the problem today when you're walking in nature and you tightened up, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. So as you're, just go back for there for a moment. And when you feel that tightening up, where do you feel that in your body?
It's in my abdomen, roughly, belly button and down.
Okay. And, how tight out of 10, 1 out of 10, 10 is total tightness. How tight would it be?
Oh, it can get pretty tight.
So, yeah, when you're thinking, when you're kind of connecting with it, getting a sense of it now from before, what are you picking up on now?
Well, right now it's only maybe a 1 or a 2. When I was experiencing it before, it was probably around a 5 or 6.
Okay, it was 5 or 6 then, 1 or 2. Yeah. But so if you really connect with that tenseness, just go into it for just a moment. Is that okay to just go into it for a moment?
Yeah.
The tenseness. And,
yeah.
Okay. So tell me when you really feel the tenseness, and when you do, put your left hand on your navel, that stomach area where you're feeling, and tell me how you really connect with it just for a moment. And imagine it's, go ahead with that. And let me know
I'm not quite getting it at the same level of intensity
that's
I was getting
fine.
Before.
No, that's fine. I understand. Okay. I just want you to have a strong connection so you really feel like you have a connection to it.
Okay. Well, I've got my left hand there.
Good. So you have a connection. And how tense would you say out of 10?
Maybe 2, maybe 3 perhaps.
2 or 3,
Two probably.
Okay. And what feelings are you noticed from that tension there that's coming out of that tension?
I can't say that there are emotional feelings. There's just a feeling of a sensational feeling of pain, discomfort, tightness.
Okay. And just taking it one more step, discomfort and pain about discomfort about.
In terms of topic?
What are you uncomfortable about?
I don't know. That's part of the problem.
Okay. maybe uncomfortable because
of the to try to figure this one out. I never figured it out.
Okay. That's fine. All right. So remove your hand from your lower abdomen there.
Okay.
Okay. So let's go back and connect with the peacefulness, right?
Okay.
And that was the other hand on your knee, and then put the left hand back on the abdomen where you were feeling the sensation. So you got both hands on. They're called anchors sometimes. Okay. Yep. So remove your hand from your stomach and just hang out there with the peaceful presence. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And just allow the peaceful presence to kind of be there for a moment and see if it can share anything with you or just what you're aware of when you're in this peaceful present, maybe that lofty place, maybe just a special place, a feeling. You said there might be some sounds.
I'm not getting anything specific.
That's fine. You may or may not. Some people do, some people don't, and some people get it at a later place. Okay, and just remove your hand. Okay. So, just coming back to the discomfort, anything you'd like to notice on that? Anything you want to, comment on that, on the, what you call it, discomfort, I guess. Partly discomfort in not knowing, I think, but there is a discomfort.
No, there's a definite physical sensation.
Yeah. What are you noticing about that now?
It's pretty much unchanged.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, I'm very familiar with the sensation. It doesn't do a whole lot. It just kind of, It gets either stronger or weaker. And that's about all I can really say.
Okay. Yeah. You have kind of an unusual thing that might take some further examination. But what what you might consider, Walt, is just to go back to the presence and let that presence, which could be very powerful for you, which is a more soulful presence. Cause I did sense that, to help lead you and guide you in that. And if it's something foreign, that soulful presence can also be protective, if that's the case of what we're talking about here.
That's quite possible.
If it's something sort of invading your energy or something extraneous kind of coming in energetically that you don't really want around you, that would be good still to bring in that presence there. But it also could help you with insights when you just open up to say, hey, you know, presence, kind of just be with that and kind of help me decipher, perceive what's going on. And of course, mm-hmm. if you're in that presence, how was that for you? When you're in the presence, what's that like, being there more?
It's distracting. I'm trying to find the right words to describe the experience of it.
When the sensation comes, you mean?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like it would be distracting. So that might be another reason to bring in the presence to help guide you through that. Anyways, that's one example. You have sort of an unusual situation. And
I do, yeah.
Usually people are stressed because of money, relationships, health. You know, those are the kind of things, worried. I mean, those are kind of normal things that people generally have, and something you have something kind of very unusual.
It shows up in a lot of different ways.
Not garden variety things, but it probably is the key to something, and it might take some more investigation on your part.
Yeah. Well, that would be ongoing, because that's what I've been doing for many years now, trying to investigate what this is.
Yes, you mean it's been going on that many years?
Oh, yes, many years. This has been going on for...
So will you just have
20 years, 30 years, something like that?
Yeah. And sometimes there can be past lifetime things that come in when they're very, they don't make sense in this lifetime. There's not really a context for something, you know, coming. That's sometimes another place to look.
The only real consideration that I can say, I've been able to identify, is that it becomes more prevalent and stronger and more, happens more frequently when I'm in the higher stress situations. When I'm in lower no stress, it's almost never there.
Right. So there's something that's coming in there. Yeah. So anyways, I would just kind of keep going. You're a person who would take a little more help.
I was easy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was kind of hesitant to do it just because of the nature of it, because most people, you know, have very identifiable problems that people can relate to, rather than strange energies that they've been trying for 20 years to determine what they are. That's not your normal situation.
No, not normal.
But anyways, I still would consider I really like the peaceful presence you have, because that could be the answer to many things for you. And that goes back to the loving power of your soul. Your soul is there for healing, guidance, and direction. And sometimes it takes a lot longer to figure things out.
Well, I think it's an ongoing process, isn't it? I mean,
it is.
We are all going through ongoing life learning situations. We're developing. We're going through expansion, to use that term. And it's ongoing. We live in a world where it's often called a world of polarity or a world of contrast. And in that world, we're going to be constantly exposed to a whole series of events and experiences that are going to lead us to all different ways of understanding ourselves and maybe even coming into conflict with ourselves, and all kinds of stuff's going to happen. So, yeah.
Don't say that word, Walt. Don't say that word.
Well, honestly, that's what we do, isn't it? We're dealing with ourselves on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, it's a journey. it's a journey, and there are going to be a lot of conflicts and challenges. It is a world of polarity and duality. Yep. It's part of the journey. That's part of the learning experience, right?
It is. It is indeed. Okay. Let's go back to the book a little bit, The Loving Power of Your Soul. That appears to be like the latest step, so to speak, in the Montrose family's approach to how you get at the meat of this stuff. So tell us a little bit more about what's in that particular book.
Sure. One of the things, which since we're on the LOA today podcast, and one of the things my wife Jane Montrose and myself studied a lot was Wallace Wattles, which I'm sure you're probably quite familiar with.
Sure.
And we were like The Science of Being Great, his other second book, or in the Science of Getting Rich. And he talks some about the competitive plane and the creative plane in that. And we go into that in a little more depth too in the new book, The Loving Power of Your Soul, the differences between being on the competitive and creative plane. So the creative plane would take a situation. Let's just use your situation, your strange connection there, would look mm-hmm. at it. You know, how could I look at this creatively? Competitively, we're going to be fighting it. We're going to be dealing, we're going to be fearful, fatalistic. But creatively, we're going to find out how we can learn from it. And just as our life unfolds, you know, what happens to me? Is it going to be something where, I'm mourning my fate? There's a lack of resources. There's struggling. There's no way out. There's just win, lose. Or is there something where I can find a way of being grateful? This is the creative plane, or, following my heart more, or looking at what is the positive that I could learn from this situation instead of being maybe more judgmental of myself. How can I be more accepting? So all of those ways of being more on the creative plane is an interesting way to lead your life. And as we grow up, I mean, we're sort of taught to be competitive, and society is extremely competitive. And if you, there's a place to compete with yourself and be your best, but there's a lot of negative and downsides, of just living your life that way. And that's something that we go into in the book and explore. It's an interesting way of living your life.
Okay. Very good. Also the approach that you're taking is definitely spiritually oriented, and it sounds like that's been kind of where the evolution of your own practices for both you and your wife, and of your own study, your own approach to the overall subject seems to have gone. It seems like you've gone very much into the spiritual realm. So what is it that drew you there? What drew you into this way of looking at situations and problems and, you know, all that kind of stuff?
Well, going back a little bit to the initial story, when I realized that awakening and spirituality, even in my 20s, years, decades ago, was what I wanted to do, partly because of just sort of seeing the limitations that I had and my kind of vanities and illusions of what I was trying to do as a teenager, realizing that wasn't going to work, that I had to go deeper and find something bigger. And in that spiritual group that I mentioned, the Gurdjieff group, I realized that to go deeper in that, you needed the healing. So the awakening was the spiritual awakening, and then the healing combined with that. So that one thing led to the next. When we were doing spiritual kinesiology in the 1990s, it was just like, what in the world? This is just so far ahead of the curve. But when we got into EFT, luckily that did catch on, because that's more left brain. That's more, you know, tap some points, be a carpenter, kind of fix things. And it works very well. And it does link with the Eastern tradition. So that was a good bridge. And we took a little more holistic approach, as I mentioned. And it just kept evolving. So it kept going into the spiritual kinesiology and the healing. And we continue to develop different methods of connecting more deeply with your soul and your journey. And part of that too, Walt and Daniel, is the life purpose part. And that kind of came early on, because as you connect more with your deeper awareness, you start to see, hey, what am I here for? If it's going to be beyond survival, even if you're just trying to survive, that might be your purpose, to survive in some people's case, or in some times in your life. What can I do to really help someone beyond myself, people in groups, and how do I do that? What am I good at? And as you kind of look at like what am I naturally good at? You know, how can mm-hmm. I do that more? mm-hmm. It's very natural. And how could that go out and be a living or an avocation or vocation? How could I help people? So that sort of was part of the journey too, on what we're doing here and how we're using our time.
Yeah. One of the things that I like to bring up often here is when we're talking, on those rare occasions where we actually delve into law of attraction, when we're talking law of attraction, most often people come into that realm, usually with some sort of situation going on already, some sort of problem they're trying to deal with. And it's usually mm-hmm. associated most commonly with one of three areas, money, relationships, health. And
right.
I mean, there are other areas too. I mean, careers, hobbies, it's a whole range of stuff. But those are really the big three. So I'm wondering to what degree has your practice with you and your wife and your coaching practice, but also mm-hmm. the general approach you've taken, to what degree has it gone in one or any of those directions?
Well, that's a good point. I think a lot of it, since we have this underlying spiritual approach, it's often about people's purpose and what they're here to do, you know, and to optimize their gifts. And sometimes that involves, you know, healing, just basic kind of healing things, you know, how do I deal with my kids? How do I deal with my family? You know, those kind of basic things which are in the way of all that, because it's really all connected. When people say, I want to be, you know, a spiritual coach, well, that's helping people with their job. That's helping people with their family. That's helping people with their relationships. That's helping people with their health. So it kind of comes down from that vantage point. If you are going to realize your purpose and live your best life and accelerate your spiritual growth, make a difference, you want to connect again with your soul and what you're here to do and your life plan.
Yeah, that's true. And in fact, ultimately what we're trying to do is we're trying to grow in all ways. That's what we call the abundant lifestyle, because if you're connecting mm-hmm. well to all of them, to the money mm-hmm. side, to the relationship side, to the health side, to everything that's in between those, that's the abundant life. That's really what
I like that. I like that description, yeah. Walt. And maybe I'll bring in a story here that might tie some of this together. One of a lady who was taking we have a coaching and healing a 1-year program. We're with people quite a bit for a year. She was taking it and she's kind of hoping it was going to be good. She didn't know. She was a little scared, like a lot of people, of going out on a limb. And you know, there's a lot of leaps of faith in the spiritual journey.
Oh, yes.
That's where people get stuck. They don't take that leap, and there's not one. There's quite a few. Unless you just stay where you are, which is a choice and is an option. But going back to this lady, she's taking our course and she is in a difficult marriage. She used to be, in a professional field. I think she was a lawyer or something. Her husband was pretty well off, but she was very unhappy in her marriage and her life. She didn't know what to do or what anything meant. And she just opened her heart and really did a lot of healing about herself and her relationship and her possibilities, and just went into the field. She went into the mental health and became a counselor through the training we did and further things. And she left that relationship and then got a relationship or attracted a relationship that was much more suitable for her.
Mm, yeah. And that's probably going to be a pattern, I would think, in the stories that you experienced
right.
with people you've worked with.
One
thing gets addressed and then a bunch of other stuff happens.
Yeah, exactly. That's well said. Yeah, because it's so interconnected. It's so linked together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the nature of the energetic realm. In fact, we've been experiencing a number of those lately, both here on the show, and there was a summit that I put together recently where Daniel was actually leading the workshop. And the main purpose of the workshop was to help eliminate money blocks, and you end up removing a health block for one of the people participating,
right.
which was
right.
just really, it was one of those remarkable, oh my goodness, kind of moments, you know?
Yeah, it reminds me of another fellow I was helping with, you know, problems with the IRS and money and stuff. And he realized just, you know, his father had a problem with the IRS, and there was all this kind of baggage about hating the government because of what the government did to his father and taxes and stuff. And, you know, then it really had a lot to do with his relationship with his father, you know?
Mm, yeah. Yeah. It all just kind of connects in wild ways. What are some of the more interesting, this is a question I haven't asked in a while. What are some of the more interesting blocks you've encountered lately?
Well, what black have you? Well, let me tell this one. This is an interesting story. We write about it in our book about the loving power of your soul. Jane was helping a lady. She was feeling very ill. This is about a year and a half or two ago, a couple years ago. And she was so ill, she almost thought she was going to die. I mean, she was that ill for about 10 days and she could barely do this process. It was on Zoom. So she was doing the spiritual kinesiology, like I was helping you with a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. And she was coughing. She was very pale in her face. She really could hardly speak in a way. I was surprised she even did the process. She was so ill and she'd been in bedridden for about 10 days. She didn't know how to get over this. She was that ill. So as the process went on and she did some healing, levels of healing, and she was able to access some of the energies and the feelings around this illness, she just got clearer and clearer and saw it was some old energy, speaking of energies, unidentifiable energies, and although she mm-hmm. didn't put a name to it, she was able to just get a sense of it enough to clear it, old baggage from the past, and by the end of it, this one, it took about 50 minutes, it wasn't just a 5-minute thing, She had her face had color. She was speaking clearly. She wasn't coughing anymore. She had a lot more energy. We found out later that this was the very beginning of COVID and people didn't even know what really COVID was at the very first month or two, you know?
Yeah.
And she had a very bad case of it. I mean, extremely, you know, some people, of course, we know die from it.
Sure.
And she got rapidly better. And I don't know how much that process changed, but from within an hour, she was going from coughing, feeling like she was going to die to feeling like she felt very energized and very good. And shortly afterwards, she just recovered very quickly from that point.
Well, certainly we know, I mean, not COVID necessarily, but any kind of illness, your mindset's going to make a huge difference in terms of your ability to heal. I mean, that's medical practitioners know that's going to play a role. So it's certainly not hard to identify that part, but you're right. We can't know exactly how much that particular role played. It just, but we know it was there. We know it was.
Uh-huh. Right. Right.
Which is an important thing. Okay. So we've identified some of the interesting blocks that have happened in the past that you've encountered. What do you think is, where do you see this going? I guess maybe that's what I'm trying to think of. What do you think is like the next step in the journey? Because you've been writing a lot of books between you and your wife. You guys, how many books have you guys written? I mean, there's a lot.
We've written about a dozen books or more if you count all the ebooks and things. We've done a lot of writing and a lot of teaching and training and healing. We've done a lot of things that we're a little on in our years, like you, not young like Daniel, young guy. After the, you know, the years come, you keep doing thing every year. But when you say, where is this going? What are you referring to as this, Walt?
Guess I'm looking into what's your vision? Where do you see this going next? I mean, you put this book out because you had particular hopes, particular goals in mind that you were trying to accomplish. And I imagine to some degree, you feel like you've accomplished them. In other ways, you feel like you're partway there. And I imagine you're also kind of leading up to what comes after that. So that's what I'm trying to get at.
Right. Okay. Well, where we're going here, we're kind of going more into the invisible realm. So kind of connecting with the angelic realms, the invisible realms, the oracle realms, which things we've sort of done in the background throughout our lives and kind of bringing that in as a piece of being supported. So what we do is we take some of these, we sort of loftier realms like we're talking about and try to make them very practical and concrete and doable. So if someone like reads our book, it's very clear. It's step by step. It's very easy to understand. It's not kind of rambly or, you know, I don't really get it or what does that, you know, how that doesn't make sense to me. We try to be very practical about it. So and the same thing, if you're connecting with a higher being, you know, how would that practically play in your life? How do you see that playing? How do you use muscle testing or pendulums, which is another kind of form of muscle testing? How would you practically use that to help you live a better life? Mm-hmm. So we're integrating that piece into it.
What can you tell us about what you have discovered along the way and what have you found that really is working?
Well, that's kind of the newest project that we're kind of working on. We know how to use it for ourselves. So part of it is taking some of the things that we've done it with ourselves and working with other people and then turning it more into a public here's what we found. You know, we're sort of in the, how do we get what we've done for our own guidance mm-hmm. into, you know, what it might help you or someone else watching, you know, so we're kind of, exploring that in the exploratory stages.
Okay. So it's early days is what we're saying. We're not quite there.
Yeah. That's, you said, yeah. You know, what's coming next, you know, that's sort of on the horizon.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's fine. That's fine. And with the book that you just put out now, what was the date? I don't know how long it's been out. When was the book put out?
It just came out January. It just came out a month ago.
Oh, okay. So it's pretty new then.
It's all very right. new. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been out for a month. So what's the reception been so far?
Well, people are interested in the topic, and the people in our list and people like that idea of the loving power of your soul. In fact, part of the title came from, you know, our surveys and so forth. And the idea of the subtitle, the realizing your true potential, that seems to be a very strong area of interest that people are very interested in, that idea of realizing your true potential, you know, certain terms that people are very drawn to.
Sure, yeah.
Accelerating your evolution is another aspect of it. How to accelerate what we're here to do and learn.
Okay, and what when they're presented with your book, when I imagine you're getting some feedback on the book itself by people who've been reading it. What's the feedback?
Well, people like it because it's practical and it's easy to understand. And there's six techniques on connecting with the soul. I did sort of a combination with you earlier. So there's six different ways that we've done over the years to connect with the soul, and people like that because it's experiential and exercises. Mm-hmm. And then there's also, if you want to go into the holistic EFT and the spiritual kinesiology, there's some chapters on that to get a sense of how to do that as well. So it's a very hands-on, how-to, practical book. And it also goes into, as I was referring to earlier, how meditation can relate to, and mindfulness can relate to connecting with your soul, which overlaps. But sometimes there's ways where we kind of lose ourselves in mindfulness or meditation versus being very consciously present. I like your term, your peaceful presence. Instead of being in the peaceful presence, you're just sort of lost in an exercise or a ritual, or so narrow-minded that you're kind of missing things going by you.
Yeah, that can happen. Interesting, too, the way you're using the term mindfulness. The way it's often used these days is, well, mindset, obviously, I think this is pretty much true for everybody who's been a guest here or anybody I've ever listened to. Dan, you can probably confirm or add to this, but mindfulness is based on mindset, and mindset is usually the starting point for most people's either their exploration or their description of what it is that they're presenting. And it's interesting that from my perspective, it seems like mindfulness is something that you're kind of including toward the end. So I'm wondering how that worked.
Yeah, that's a good perception. I like that insight, Walt. Yeah. So mindfulness is in a way being present and non-judgmental. So just kind of watching yourself. So in that sense, it is very soulful and being present. If right now we're aware of ourselves, of our bodies, what we're listening to, or if I'm speaking or I'm listening to you, or watching you. So being aware of that is very helpful and kind of puts you into present and living your life now and mm-hmm. having a sense so you're not lost in the past or lost and worried about the future. So there's an overlap on that. But if you get too conscious, if you get too prescriptive, kind of like I was saying in that Gurdjieff group where you're kind of worried about every little thing, like, you know, did I miss this? What about that? Am I, you know, being present enough? I mean, then you become sort of self-conscious as opposed to just in the flow of the moment.
So you're talking about how the awareness of mindfulness, the mindset piece, can actually get in the way of growth.
It can be. It done in some ways, it can be a misturn. And some people report that there's actually problems from meditation or mindfulness where there's an escapism. Like I'll just go into my mindful place and forget about the world and not deal with my worries, my problems, you know, as kind of an escapism, or just losing track of the big picture.
Okay.
So those are some things just to be aware of. There often is a wonderful overlap and coinciding. So I'm not saying, obviously, meditation and mindfulness can be wonderful and beautiful.
Sure, absolutely, and there's lots of documentation and lots of people who have promoted those kinds of ideals. So we're all familiar with those. I'm intrigued by the idea that you can actually overdo it, so to speak. You can kind of get lost in it. It's kind of, you're almost treating it like it's a rabbit hole.
Right. Well, and another, go ahead, Daniel.
No, I was saying that's the, just to back you up on that, that's my whole stop meditating thing that people get angry about me saying. Mm-hmm. That meditate, yes, do your stuff, yes, but then get off your butt and do something about it. Otherwise, you will get lost in the nonsensity of thinking inaction is going to lead anywhere. If you don't change your thoughts, if you don't change your emotional state, if you don't change your environment, if you don't change your inputs, then nothing's going to change, regardless of how much time you spend in other dimensions.
Exactly. That, well said. So the idea is actually to make your life a living meditation rather than just doing something for a few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 hours. And some people, it's more conducive to them than other people. So I acknowledge that part. But, and another part of this that relates, I think, to what you were saying too, Daniel, is, part of the soul is having messages. And although, Walt, you didn't get your message yet in the little process we did. And I wish we'd go back and do that, because that was not a good example of the spiritual kinesiology. The stories really that I gave are more typical. But again, I'm still hopeful that if you stay with the presence, you're going to get some answers. But going back to the meditation, is the soul gives you messages. And part of it is to meditate or connect with the soul daily. So doing those soul centering can be a kind of meditation in itself, to the point where then you can or cannot necessarily, you don't need to do it because you're able to do it in the moment. A lot of people think connecting with the soul is this very hard to do, rare, just a few times maybe in your life that maybe it occurs. And that is really not the case. Yes, it happens in beautiful times and wonderful sunsets and beauty. And yes, in tragic times and tragedy where you remember this thing always and you're in this heightened state. Yes, but it can happen right now in this moment. And going back to, I'm still getting back to you, Daniel. Going back to Daniel's comment about it being almost a an avoidance mechanism after a certain time, is if you are getting soulful messages, which you can get at any time, and when you can do it, you can connect with it as long as you're relaxed and not too stressed out. And you're in this meditative state, and your soul's saying, well, yes, I think this would be a good suggestion for you, but you're saying, you know, don't bother me. I don't clear these thoughts. Just ignore the thoughts. I'm just going to meditate and be calm now. Yeah, but the soul is trying to communicate with you. So you can actually shut out your higher awareness through, quote, meditating and mindfulness. And, you know, again, we've had stories, and there are a lot of stories of this lady who was a meditator in a group and meditating for years, and she got with a man, and the man was a meditator too, and he ended up taking all her her money in her house, you know. Wow. It was a great guru, you know, and they meditated together, and they were part of the meditation groups, and, you know, it all sounded good.
Yeah,
until those are, you know, those are obviously the exceptional stories, but
it was good until it wasn't.
It was
good. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and, you know, and again, I want to basically say meditation and mindfulness is a great thing, and it can be used deliberately. But some people are like Daniel, and just they have a period where they do it, and then it has served its purpose, and they've learned what they want. And other people just love to do it; they love to be in meditation for an hour or more a day, and that's great, and that's wonderful too. Depending on the context and the purpose of it and what you're getting out of it.
Yeah, touch a little bit more too on, because both of you are on the same page here on this point, but I think it's an important point to kind of delve into. And that is the idea that you can, in my words, you can overdo it. You can actually get yourself into a place, I think the way you described it was, where you're avoiding dealing with what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that for a bit.
Right. So, if you're stressed out and you want to relax, you go into meditation, and that's good. And you do want to relax, and being relaxed is a way to connect with your soul. But if it's a way of avoiding situations, and most meditations do not have the healing part of the shadow, the things we were talking about earlier, holistic EFT tapping, spiritual kinesiology, healing from the soul, and other, there's other modalities, hypnotherapy and such. They don't deal with that. So you still have your shadow stuff. You still have, you know, that part of you that's very angry, that's very worried, that's very lonely, etc. You go into your meditative place, you feel pretty good for that time, but you go back and you're right back where you came from, and there's no progress like being in that spiritual group where I was going to be remembering myself and present, but yet I couldn't express my negative emotions, and I was always inhibited and worried that I was going to step on pins and needles and offend someone. Because I never addressed with that, but yet I was in a spiritual awakening school and devoting my whole life to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely an example of how it can, you can go overboard. There's no doubt about it. You really can. Yeah. What we're really talking about though is being able to bypass all of the techniques and connect with who you are. That's really what's at the bottom of this, isn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that's well said. Yeah. Cause you want to try to connect more deeply with your soul, which is who you are at a deeper level. Our body, this life, and it's hard to remember this because the veil is so strong just to be here, is an extension really of our soul, kind of a branch of it, a version in exploration, like a project sort of, so to speak, roughly speaking. So the idea is to, we're on this journey, we're on this project, and we're trying to make the most of this project. It's kind of like I'm writing a book, or you have a job, or you're doing this creative project. And you want to make the most of it so you can learn and grow and see what you can get from it. So that's this journey here to keep on learning and growing. And the way you do that, which is the whole point of the book, The Loving Power of Your Soul, is so you can fulfill your life plan, which is not a set, specific, one thing only. It's very fluid and dynamic. But there are general parameters of things you're here to learn. And part of it has to do with the gifts and things that you're good at. And as we were talking about, the life purpose of expressing yourself and helping others.
With 3 or 4 minutes left, it's probably not the time to ask this, but let's talk about life purpose for a second, because that's a pretty important piece. And different people have different ideas about what this whole life purpose is. Some people say, well, your life purpose is whatever you say it is. Other people believe that, you know, that life purpose is given to them by a creator. I mean, what's your take on it?
Okay. Yeah. The way we describe it is, we sort of put it into almost a formulaic way, which is sounds strange. And that is the things you're here with gifts, right? You know, you're good at certain things, expressing yourself. Daniel's good at things. I'm good at things. The listeners are good at things. The audiences. You take those, the things that you enjoy doing, not things you're good at, but you don't enjoy, the things that you're passionate about. And then you start to sort of ponder, reflect, maybe even meditate on how you'd like to improve the world. So if you'd like, and take an adjective, I'd like to make the world more, well, what would you say? I'd like to make the world more, what adjective would you give it, or one or two? I mean, there's lots of things, but what comes top of mind?
Oh, geez. What comes right to top of mind? Joyful.
More joyful. And Daniel, what you'd like to make the world more what?
Abundant.
More abundant.
Yeah.
So then you take your gifts. This would be a starting place, like a sketch, the first draft of a book or a story or project. So you take your gifts, podcasting gifts, expression gifts. I don't know what you go on your inventory. What is it I really enjoy doing? I enjoy writing. I enjoy coaching and healing and training people. So you take whatever that is to become, help people, the world become more joyful. Or more abundant. So the things you're doing that you're good at can make, in Daniel's case, as a rough draft here, a purpose, more abundant. I'm taking my gifts A, B, and C to make the world more abundant. And Walt, you're taking your gifts to make the world more joyful. And that can be updated and so forth. And it sounds rather abstract when I say it, but if you actually just apply it, it's surprisingly concrete and actionable.
Very interesting. Okay. Well, like I said, we're running out of time. Before we end for the day, though, I always like to make sure that I let people know how to reach out to the guest and find the books and find whatever website or I don't know how. Tell us how we reach you. That's the easiest way to ask the question.
Yeah. We have a very big website with a lot of free downloads and articles and videos and trainings. And it's getting through getting thru.org, getting thru.org. But there's a free bonus that I think would be good for your audience it's a spiritual kit, a chapter from our book, some videos, some training videos, healing videos. It's free. And the tiny URL, the shortened URL is tinyurl.com/spiritual-kit. That's a free kit, tinyurl.com/spiritual-kit. You can get a free kit of a chapter from our book, some training, some videos, some resources.
All right, good. Well, we'll include that in the description for the episode. But Dr. Philip Montrose, thank you so much for taking the time, spending this hour with us, and giving us some insight on what you and Dr. Jane have been working on all these years.
Thanks, Walt. Thanks, Daniel. Great being with you.
Great having you here. Thank you to our podcast listeners everywhere, and we will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.